Hi, today is October 30th, 2022. This is Todd Agassawar, my good friend John Westfall, and our good friend Don Sorcinelli is joining us once more for Mobile Views Podcast 428, the day before Halloween. Boo. I'm sure that frightened you.
Going to get scary.
Yeah.
Ooh. Scary so, mobile views. Ooh.
By the way, Don, I noticed you are wearing a hoodie. Is it getting cold in your neck of the woods?
We're in that time of year where it can't make up its mind what to do. Forget across multiple days. Even during the day, it warms up into like close to 70 and then drops to below freezing at night.
So seriously?
It can't.
Have you gotten snowfall yet?
No. Thank goodness. Because otherwise, I would really feel bad about all the leaves in my backyard that I haven't touched yet.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. See, I'm one of those that waits until they all fall.
All fall? Yeah. And put them in a pile? Then,
and then sprint out there as quickly as possible before snow hits. But, it's not bad here. My son is further west. Out in New Hampshire, and his mornings have been extremely cold. They've already been well below freezing a couple of mornings.
Oh, really?
So.
Really?
Fortunately for him, he has late classes most days, so he gets to stay under covers until it warms up a little bit. But yeah.
All righty. Well, as you can see, John and I are in t-shirts, so we're still pretty warm in our neck of the woods.
It must be nice.
It's 79 here. Just yeah. Yeah.
Good for you. Good for you and your 79 degrees.
At any rate, I want to start off with a happy story. Sad and then happy. So I have a Fitbit Charge 4, the latest in a long line of Fitbits since the original Fitbit back in 2010, 2009, whenever they first came out. So I've been using it for as long as it's been around. And I noticed it was getting dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. It's one of those wristband types.
Yep.
And I finally got to the point where I couldn't see anything except, well, nothing really. Oh, I think I could see part of the smiley face when I plugged it in to charge it. And so I finally got off my duff and I tweeted to Fitbit support. And I said, hey, you know, I've tried resetting it a couple of times and blah, blah, blah. And I know it still works, still tracking, and I can feel it buzz when I reset it, when I do a soft reset. Is there anything I can do? And I also said, hey, I bought this in like June 2020, so I'm pretty sure it's out of warranty, but any advice you could offer? And he said, so we tried a couple of things, and he said, nah, it looks like the display is toast and you're out of warranty, so we can't replace it, but we can give you a 35% discount on anything you want to replace it with. And so they gave me a little code for the Fitbit.com website store to shop there, and they have free shipping, so you know, that's anything over $25, that was a pretty good deal too. And so I have a Fitbit Charge 5 that should be shipping soon. It says shipped, although the carrier doesn't show it in the system yet, probably Monday. So I'm expecting a Charge 5 to appear on my doorstep to replace my now not blind, but I can't see anything on it, Charge 4. So I'm looking forward to it because it has color and holds a whole bunch of new features that the Fitbit 4, Charge 4 doesn't have. So I'm really looking forward to having it and retiring the old Charge 4. So thank you, Fitbit, to our fives or tens of listeners out there who may be looking for a tracker. It's, you know, not owned by Google, I should note. So I don't know if that's, you know, if you don't like Google, well, you know, sorry about that. You know how some people are anti-Microsoft or anti-Google or anti-whoever? I'm sort of agnostic. If a product works for me, I'm pretty happy with it. And if it doesn't work for me, you'll hear about it here.
Yes. It's funny you should mention Fitbit because my wife is trying to get back into being very aware of her step count and everything else. She's walking every day, and she's just been using her phone to manage. And I had sitting in my pile of tech, I had a Versa 2 that I actually loved.
Yeah.
And I pulled it out the other day and said, here's, you know, I really think it's great. It's for what she needs it for. It's probably overkill, but it's still so easy to use.
Sure.
And that was always a thing I liked about Fitbit.
And more accurate than a phone.
Absolutely. And like I said, it was always just it was always simple.
Yeah.
You know, when you get into trying to use smartwatches, when you're principally trying to do one thing, like I said,
right,
step counts and things like that, you know, it tends to be either overkill or just too complex. And even with the Versa, it's pretty straightforward, you know, how to use it. So she's been enjoying it. And, you know, and I have no problem. I'm waiting to see how long it takes before Google Fit and the Fitbit app just basically are one and the same. I guess it's going to only be a matter of time before that happens. But I use Google Fit because I have a Wear OS watch.
That's a good point. And, you know, the Google, the new Pixel watch is, I think, uses Fitbit technology or Fitbit services.
Yep.
So and that, for it, at least, it has already merged.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, speaking of Google, just a quick note that, you know, there's like a bunch of widget support in iOS these days. And Google, to my surprise, announced that they have Google widgets for the iPhone. So if you are a Googler using an iPhone, there you go. And I'll have a link in the show notes. And the next thing I just wanted to mention is that I received my M2 iPad Pro 11-inch last week. When was it? Wednesday? Yeah, Wednesday, as promised by Apple. And so it got here. You know, a couple of things are still missing that I had not been tracking the beta, so I didn't realize it just didn't ship within the iPad yet. So the M2 doesn't have the Freeform app. That's apparently coming in 16.2. It doesn't have the extended external display, which is what I really wanted it for. you know, because we could always do mirroring, but this is an extended display, so you can basically have two displays on your iPad. And less interesting to me, but still missing, is the opt-in for web notification support. So those are all missing. I want to note, I still really haven't played with it that much, except for my Doodle-A-Day project. But I'm still coming to grip with Stage Manager. I'm not really sure I like it yet.
Well, and I know that I put Stage Manager, I turned it on a little bit on Mac OS 16 Ventura, and I know you're planning on talking about that too.
Yeah,
I turned it right back off about 2 seconds later. So I looked at it and I thought, this is interesting, but not usable for me. And we'll talk about it in a minute. I have become very aware of my muscle memory in terms of operating systems this week. When we talk about me living on an iPad for 72 hours or so. Turned right back off.
Yeah, we'll talk. Yeah, we'll mention that. Also, remind me to mention my experiences with Windows 11 so far. But at any rate, so Apple Pencil, so the hover feature, which I wasn't sure I really need or not, really doesn't work with anything I use. So it works with, you know, the system itself. It works with Apple's Notes. But Apple Pencil Hover in my doodling apps, Procreate and ArtSet, none of them supported yet. I'm sure it's coming, but you know, quite frankly, I've been doing a Doodle a Day project for nearly 6 years now. I haven't had Hover, and I'm thinking it's not really gonna be a big deal if I have to wait for it, you know, having never had it. But at any rate, I did notice that Procreate does not like iPad OS 16.1. So it is kind of flaky, but Procreate for some reason has been flaky in every upgrade, and which is why I started using other apps. Over the years, just for the upgrade season when I know I can't use Procreate, you know, reliably. Okay, Mac
when it
OS
goes out of style for a very brief amount of time.
Yeah, for about 45 days, you know. Right?
It's, you know, usable. It used to be Mac OS did that at every upgrade cycle with random apps, where I would know that whenever I was going to be, you know, on a new version of Mac OS for about a month, 2 months, it would take a while. Then we slowly got that, and now that has morphed over to other Apple operating systems.
Well, can I add to it? I think it's really interesting because going back quite a few years when I ended up being on the technical implementation side, semi-development for device management for iOS, no matter how much access you get to Apple previews as a developer, and trust me, they do, and they've gotten incredibly good at it compared to what it used to be like. What I always find is the last developer preview, which is like just before, now at least they put a little bit, sometimes we slide in a release candidate, but I could always remember suddenly two or three really good curveballs that you had no idea about. And the closer you wrote code, to the to take advantage of certain features.
Right.
Murphy's Law said the new release will kill you on something in relation to that. So it doesn't surprise. I mean, it happens with every OS to a certain extent, but I can remember explicitly working for an MDM vendor that we would like, here comes the last developer release. What? You'd see something in the release notes and you'd say, oh, thanks, you just broke everything. So it's tough. And I can imagine something that does a lot of work with you know, ink, touch. You're probably, especially if you're trying to take advantage and really push it to the limits, Murphy's Law says something's going to happen to you probably with every release to catch you.
Right. And you know, and with macOS, I still, so I'm running on a MacBook Pro now to record this podcast. I have not upgraded it to Ventura, macOS 16, because I'm afraid it's going to break Audio Hijack, which I used to record this.
Yeah.
So I upgraded my M1 MacBook Air, but not this one. This one's going to stay right where it is for a little while until I'm pretty sure Audio Hijack works properly.
I can speak to on the IT side of that too. Yeah, that was the other thing with I can remember really doing everything. If folks didn't have their companies that we work with didn't have their MacBooks under full management.
Yeah.
Oh, I can remember all the calls that would come in. There'd always be, like you said, the random application. It's never the same two applications. But each significant release, something would break that would be a backbreaker for some client. And it was just always painful.
Right. And you wouldn't even know the name of the app, but it was important to them.
And it definitely pays if you're an organization to manage, if for no other reason than to put a 30-day or a 60-day hold and test the living daylights out of those, instead of letting users just pull.
You know, speaking of macOS, last week John and I were talking about the rumor, and it's just a rumor, that macOS might be coming to the M2 iPad someday in the future. I don't think it'll be anytime soon. John and I were talking about how the Intel Macs were in the lab in Apple for years before they actually released one. So, you know, if it doesn't come out in the next 2 years, I won't be surprised. But what did, again, I was not paying attention to macOS 16 Ventura, I guess it's 16 Ventura. So I didn't realize that, A, Stage Manager was a thing in macOS, and B, I didn't realize the settings looks exactly like iPad OS settings instead of what I've been used to since time began. And says, where are my tiles? Where I know where everything is in settings. Now I, you know.
Reminds me of that scene in Top Gun. Where'd who go?
But, you know, so the thing that John and I didn't talk about, because I wasn't paying attention, I didn't ask John, he probably could have told me, is macOS is becoming iPadized. You know, it's with Stage Manager and the settings change to the list. And I don't know. I think, the weather app, which I do like. macOS has a weather app now. It still needs a good calculator app. But I'm a little worried about macOS now. It's, you know, I kind of know where everything was, you know, to click, click, click and do stuff. And now I'm not so sure anymore.
And I think we all have a little experience with companies that had multiple platforms that tried to make them all look the same.
Oh, yeah.
I do think they're treading a little bit more lightly on it and taking a lot longer and not just mashing it, throwing it at you all at once. But, yeah, I get it in theory. It's simplicity. In theory. You know, commonality is supposed to equate to simplicity for the end user, but each of these platforms is different, and we know it. And we, like I said, we've seen when you try and throw, like, for example, a mobile UI straight onto a desktop UI and call it Windows 8. yes. But we find out where that goes. I noticed the same thing. The other day I was talking to somebody and I said the same thing. It's like, I'm starting to see the blur and I'm going, please let this work out better than it has historically for other people who've tried it.
Right. And, you know, it's, and like John, and John already talked about Stage Manager on macOS, I also tried it for about 5 minutes. And I said, so, you know, I almost wanted to call Apple. Have you guys seen Windows 1.0?
I was just about to say, you did it 5 minutes. It sounds like you lasted longer than John.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I'm older and more patient than John. I kind of remember Windows 1.0. You know, it was kind of limited. I could only have a couple of windows open. I guess you can overlap in Stage Manager, so that's different and, you know, advanced. But I was not real impressed. Maybe it'll grow on me. Maybe I'll try it. I also never used a launcher, by the way. You know, the tiled launcher that Mac has had for over a decade now, I think. So I never got used to that either. Okay, speaking of not used to. So, Don, I think you may be one of the people I told I am never going to run Windows 11 because I don't have anything that can be upgraded to it. Still true. None of the PCs I have at work or at home can be upgraded to Windows 11. But as John knows, on Amazon's Prime Preview sale day, they had a sale, you know, like the name says. And they had a kind of a no name. I think it's called B-Link. At least no name to me. I'm not familiar with it. They had a nicely configured, relatively highly rated by customers, Celeron-based PC. I think it's the N5095. So it's not too shabby of a Celeron. 8 gigs of RAM, 256 gig SSD. I think 2 HDMI ports, blah, blah, blah. $160. So I said, with Windows 11 Pro. And I had to read it carefully because I thought maybe it could run Windows 11 Pro and you had to buy it separately. But no, it actually ships with it.
That's the surprising part. Yeah.
Yeah. So I said, $160, even as a, you know, soon-to-be very poor retiree, I can afford $160. So I bought one. And the Windows 11, ugh. You know, at work, I've been asking the team that supports desktop operating system, you know, how ready are we? And they said, well, you know, it runs everything. We haven't seen any glitches in testing. It should be fine. We don't see any compatibility issues, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we'll be ready to recommend people upgrade to it soon. And I said, no, that's not what I mean. It's just, can people use it? Because if it looks really different, people can get real confused. I got real confused, by the way, because the start menu is right in the middle. Which I guess if you're left-handed or, you know, whatever, you feel it's fair. You know, the right-handers have to move as far as the left-handers.
I think they looked at other dock technologies and, you know, well, names shall not be named, but they looked at that and said, oh, maybe we should be more like that. The problem is Windows users aren't used to that. So it's a shock. I've actually been using it for a while. I've run it on an insider's build for quite a while. And actually where I currently our offices have been deploying for any of the new machines, and I got one of the newer machines. We've got Windows 11 on them. It takes some getting used to. I mean, we all survived barely Windows 8.
I still have a lot of emotional baggage with Windows 8, but go on.
Well, we survived and we functioned and made it to Windows 10. Windows 8, the version so bad that we had to skip 9. It was bad, two versions worth of bad. So we went straight
to 10. Windows 8, the version that made Vista look good, and Millennium Edition.
Windows 8, golly.
I mean, Vista and Millennium Edition, we thought were going to always serve as the never again. And then
hold my beer. Windows 8, hold my beer edition.
Well, you know,
at least you could crash Millennium Edition to DOS. And it was okay. Yeah, it was still that kernel. But there was nowhere to go with 8. And Vista, you could revert back to XP because XP support lasted, what, an additional 15 or 20 decades after it was supposed to end? So, you know, no one really had to move to Vista, but 8, ugh.
You know, like I said, in the big picture of things, now putting it in perspective, Todd, John, 11 is not as bad as 8.
That baseline. I'll give set you that.
And,
I'll
and
give
it
you
takes
that.
Some. I had to do some serious. The start menu, I had to totally clean up myself, and because what they put out by default is totally confusing.
And I think settings looks different too.
Well, settings, they're
well, even getting to it.
It's between trying to bring more things into settings and trying to give a more modern look to it. Yeah, that's another one that can be confusing. The items in a lot of the menus, the options are still the same and even in the same place, but they just put a whole new layer of paint on it, you know. And they, you know, it's what did they, you know, what's the old saying, lipstick on a pig? They basically, they kind of tried to fancy up and modernize, but it does even, you know, it's amazing when you realize when it comes to usability, how even subtle changes can totally, totally mess with you from your habits, muscle memory, things like that. Even though it's the same location, because it's got new fonts and new layout, you're going, do I hit this?
Exactly.
It's the same text, and you're still confused. So yeah, it took, it's taken a little bit of getting used to. And a lot of menus on the, a lot of apps on the taskbar to get used to.
Yeah.
I quickly threw a lot of stuff onto the taskbar just because I wanted to avoid the start menu.
So I, you know, I haven't, again, I haven't had a lot of time to play with it. This is my retiree workstation experiment or project where I'm trying to build something basically under $500, which I've done, you know, and all the cabling, $80 LCD monitor, you know, which works fine, by the way. It's great. It's only holdback. It only has one HDMI in, which is okay. I paid $18 and got a 3-port HDMI switcher. So, you know, that's not a big deal, but it's an interesting experience, and I'll starting January 1, I'm sure I'll use it a lot more. So when it'll be my, I will have no more work PC. This will be my, my only PC, more or less. Well, I have notebooks and stuff, but you know what I mean? The one that's kind of on all the time. But at my last thought about Windows 11 and to the Microsoft UI UX people, different is not the same as better. I just want to throw that out there, you know? All right. So, John, you did a little experiment yourself.
Well, it was not by choice, but yes, I did do one. So, as we mentioned last podcast, I had sent my MacBook Pro, my 2020, the last Intel generation MacBook Pro in for service.
Yeah.
So that meant that from Tuesday afternoon until Friday afternoon, I was on iPads.
Mm.
For the majority of my day, with the exception of the times where I threw up my hands and said, I need a computer, which happened about 1/8 of my working hours when I calculated it out. So here's what I've learned. I said I would report back, and I have a blog post on this. So first, if you hook an iPad mini up to a 27-inch cinema display with a mouse and keyboard through a USB-C hub, A, it looks ridiculous, as you can see from the picture on my blog. A tiny little device powering this giant display. But it's actually fairly functional. It gets you about 95% of what you need. You very quickly start to realize that split screen is really useful. And yes, the multiple windows in iPadOS Mail, because I do run the stock Mail client, because I'm a glutton for punishment. Cloud storage, great. You know, because you got nothing else on an iPad. You got local storage, but really, you know, having everything in OneDrive and iCloud made it so that when I did have that 1/8 of the time where I said, screw it, I need a computer, I could just go over to one of our classrooms, log in where my OneDrive is already set up because that's how I get to my lectures and things like mm-hmm. that, and work for a while and then log off and go back to my office with my sad lack of computer. And, yeah, and I definitely recommend, if you're going to do this, have two iPads so that you can have one driving the display and one to use as, because I would have, you know, for example, I had advising appointments I needed to do over Microsoft mm-hmm. Teams, and I was able to at least have Teams up on one device while using the other device to pull up information.
Mm-hmm.
So that was helpful. But, man, I was very glad to get my MacBook Pro back on Friday. Which, as the follow-up of what was broken with it, I think I mentioned last week that the Apple tech told me, well, you know, it's very rare that this would be a hardware problem, but you've done all the software stuff that we would tell you to do with it. But he was very skeptical. And to him, I'd say, well, if it wasn't a hardware issue, why did you replace the main logic board, the touchpad board, the upper case above the keyboard and put a new battery in it. So it's basically a completely new computer at this point. I think they put my RAM back in there and they put my terabyte SSD back in there. But
wait a second. When did Apple start acting like Dell when it comes to dealing with hardware?
Oh, I can tell you when. It's when the former CEO from Burberry became the VP for customer care and Apple stores. She's no longer with them, by the way.
Hey, I won't complain, though, because I now have a battery that has zero cycle count and, 100% battery health. And this thing is running like it should. It also is not having that seizure problem with the touchpad anymore. So I have a feeling that was probably part of the issue.
Yeah.
Right before it went off for service, I had someone stop by my office and I opened up the screen to show what it was doing. And it started flashing like it was having an epileptic seizure.
Yeah.
And they were very shocked by it. They thought it was like an early Halloween thing where my computer was possessed.
Yeah, Don, I know you're not an Apple ecosystem guy. I mean, I know you do a lot of stuff with it, but
that's
not your preferred. Yeah. Let me tell you, after that person became VP of customer care, Apple Store, everything about Apple that many of us loved just went down the tubes. Getting a Genius Bar appointment became like an exercise in frustration, also futility sometimes. Walking into the store to get help, they're still very friendly people, but they just, they took away the Genius Bar and there was like no center of focus when you walk in to who do I go talk to kind of thing, or where do I stand in line or whatever.
Yep.
And it just became a miserable experience, truly miserable.
Well, all I can say is the Genius Bar would get better if they brought alcohol to it. It's going to be called a bar. So I'll have that. And also, if you have to ship away, you don't live close enough like I do.
Right.
I'm 100 miles away. It's good to know that Walgreens is a FedEx drop-off. I didn't know that until this week. But you got to respect Apple's speed. They got the hardware on Thursday morning and got it checked in, and by Thursday afternoon, they'd sent it back out, and it was back to me before noon on Friday.
Are you sure it's actually your your machine, and they didn't just say, give them a new one, and then make a couple of scratches in the right place to show wear and tear?
They would have had to put my D-brand skin back on the top and bottom, which I think would have taken – it took me longer than a day to get it on there, so I think it probably would have taken them a while. But now I am missing the skin on top of the top panel by the keyboard, so that's a little sad. I could order a new. I might just be time to get a new skin completely. But they did it so fast it was like, is this still my actual? But the and the terabyte SSD is still named Untitled because I hadn't bothered to name it anything. And they did ship it with macOS Ventura on it, which I was happy to see that.
Oh,
I didn't have to do any upgrading to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. We are spoiled here because, for example, I have an Apple store two miles away from me. There's another one in the city in Boston proper. We've got them all over the place here. So and everybody I know, I can't recall the last time. As a matter of fact, I worked with a couple of clients who said, "Oh yeah, because of their Apple Care and what they had for their agreements, they're like, I'm still going to just take it to it. I'm just going to walk into an Apple store. I'm going to set up an appointment to walk into an Apple store."
Yeah.
But they still preferred that over having to go through shipping and everything else. But,
I'm not quite as close as you. I think the nearest Apple store is 5 miles from me, so a little over twice as far. But, certainly closer than John's situation. And like
100 miles.
We've got 3 Apple stores within 10 miles of me, I think.
Yeah, well, a lot of people come even from, like I said, I'm in New Hampshire, right at the border with Massachusetts. So a lot of people come here because our motto is live tax-free and die. tax-free New Hampshire. So
our motto is Mississippi, one Apple store for the entire state.
Is that true?
Yes, there is one Apple store, and it's in Jackson, Mississippi, or in actually one of the affluent suburbs of Jackson.
Wow,
so at least it's in the middle, but it's still
and
one
in the
for
state
the
capital.
State.
No. Well, it's funny because, in my daughter went to college in Oregon, and her college was in the state capital of Salem. No relation to Don. different Salem. But, But you would think the state capital, which is, you know, which is a small town, it's not a big city, would have an Apple Store. No, no, not at all.
Oh, I've learned, as somebody who has been to several state capitals, do not presume that state capitals necessarily are the pinnacle of technology, architecture, or anything else. Never assume when it comes to a state capital.
Yeah, yeah, you have to go all the way to Portland too, you know, which is about an hour's drive north get to an Apple Store. Well, they had a beautiful Apple Store, I must note. Anywho, so those have been our adventures, John and mine, for the last couple of weeks. We've had a lot of stuff break, John. Fitbit, MacBook Pro. Gosh, I hope nothing else breaks.
Man, I don't think it's us. I think it's it.
Yeah. I will say, speaking of ordering stuff at Amazon, it turns out that you can only order certain brands of thin super glue from Amazon. Some ship to Hawaii, some don't. I don't know why, but I had to find the right one that ships to Hawaii. And for those who are wondering, again, you know, I'm retiring at the end of the year, and I got a lot of little doohickeys I need to fix. Doodads and doohickeys and, you know, little nooks and crannies. And so I ordered a little pack of thin super glue. Because if you have not seen what thin super glue and baking soda can do, you have not appreciated life.
I've seen the YouTube videos.
So, you know what I'm going to start doing on New Year's Day, but at any rate. And speaking of the upcoming New Year's and holiday season, let's talk a little bit about that. Because Don gets really excited around the holidays, as we all know.
What I'm fascinated by is sort of like Halloween and Christmas with stores and decorations getting earlier and earlier every year.
Yeah.
The sales are getting – soon we'll be having holiday sales in, I don't know, May, June. In a way, we already have a lot of Christmas and July sales. It's been pretty amazing lately seeing – and interestingly enough, there's been a couple of things. You know, I've already had to start – planning for, and I think it breaks down into two areas. Either if I'm not looking for something tech wise, I am heavily leveraging tech these days with all these sales going on to figure out where the cheapest prices are. It's been pretty amazing, but it's funny that, you know, you guys were talking about iPads earlier on. My wife uses an extremely old iPad mini. I think it's like, I don't even know that it's really an iPad mini. It might be something fake branded, it's really old, and it's next year. She and I are going for our first week-long vacation without children.
Wow!
In a lifetime, literally my kid's lifetime. But we're going away for a week, and we're going someplace where, you know, content consumption may be part of the time. So it was funny. I said, maybe we should look for, because especially as we come up on the holiday seasons, we're coming up on, you know, sales left and right. And so it's either iPad, or if she says it's strictly content consumption, am I going to just turn around and look at a Fire HD 10, you know, because she's not going to do anything else with it but watch videos and read Kindle stuff. But between that and recently, we went through – you talked about your breaks. We went through a break on TV. Finally died on our living room TV. And so at first I thought, okay, it's time to do the shuffling. We have TVs in different rooms. We'll bring a smaller TV downstairs and we'll live with that. But I went online, and it's – the prices are low enough on TVs and monitors these days to begin with. But there's sales every 2.5 minutes. And the problem was, I could have easily gotten myself a 70-inch TV at an incredibly reasonable price. And I'm like, I just can't mount that yet. So I turned around. We ended up getting a smaller TV to hold us over. And it turned out now we have every TVOS platform in our house, all simultaneously in different rooms. We've got Roku's, we've got Google TV. And we've got Fire TV. So if anybody ever has any questions about any of those
smart
guys,
TVs,
compare and contrast, I can tell you all the fun. Yeah, and we were talking about we were just talking about OS user experience. Moving between those two can be quite a brain damaging experience from time to time. It's amazing how different they can be and how they handle stuff. But yeah, it's amazing. I'm looking forward to I'm looking with all the prices now that have been going on. I'm looking forward to seeing what comes up next month. It's going to be crazy. I think they're going to be paying us for some of this stuff.
Yeah, you know, iPad prices have already been dropping because of the new releases for the, you know, like last year's model, which are still great.
Yeah. The other thing too is keep in mind. I mean, obviously, you know, if you talk to somebody that works at some of the bigger retail, they've been talking about the fact that all that backlog from supply chain just happens to be now coming into stock, and suddenly some of these places have warehouses that are overstuffed.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I think that's even an additional pressure that's going to play itself out with the sales.
And you know, understanding that the stuff in the warehouse are not all the electronic devices, but is the chip shortage being alleviated, or are we still seeing that?
It's still not 100% there. But if you've noticed, in a lot of the tech, it's been greatly reduced. I'm still seeing in some of the specialized in networking, higher end networking equipment, there's still backlogs, but that's because there was such demand that was back ordered for so long. You know, you talk to people who order Cisco, Palo Alto, for networking gear, and the delays are getting shorter, but it's not now, it's just a matter of fulfilling a year plus of back ordered devices to get to the point where their inventory is starting to ramp back up. Right, they actually have stuff on the shelves. As quick as it's coming in, they're throwing it out the door for older orders. I mean, we had this past summer, there were at times for some of that hardware for switches you're talking about, especially for some of the more advanced, you're talking about 8-9 month back orders.
Wow.
Which was killing for some companies, especially if you were doing new construction or you were doing a whole new network infrastructure project. You're basically going, yeah, I think we're going to have to wait for a little while.
If you hadn't planned far enough in advance for end of life cycles.
Yeah. Well, that was another. I mean, there were folks that you know, some equipment that they were basically stuck with EOL. Issues because they couldn't get any new hardware to replace. But it seems to be easing up. It does still depend, though. But in some areas, like I said, TVs, monitors, all you have to do is look at the pricing right now.
Yeah.
And you can see those. And I can tell you, 6-8 months ago, computer monitors, it was as bad as what I was just describing. I mean, it was for some monitors, we're talking about,
I guess for the higher end ones, maybe, yeah.
Yeah. They were running serious delays. But now you go online. I'd love to. I mean, if there was ever a time to upgrade my computer monitors, which I have a couple of older Dells, I was just online the other day looking at them, and I'm like, okay, this has changed. But again, it's back to inventory.
Yeah. Well, as I mentioned to John, I rarely buy new monitors because they last forever. You know, they far outlast the PCs that I, you know, paired them with originally, or Macs, whatever. And so when I was looking around, I wanted to set up my Raspberry Pi 400, you know, which is HDMI out. And so I scrounged around my little home, and I have, I don't know, maybe half a dozen monitors. All of them are DVI VGA. Not a single one was HDMI. And so I said, wow, when was the last time I bought them?
I've been that way too. Yeah, I know. Yep. I know the feeling.
And, you know, they're all like 2 inches thick, right? And so I said, boy, I wonder what monitors cost these days. And preview days, $80 or 21 inch? You know, I would love a bigger monitor, but, you know, I've got a small home. But 21 inch, $80 is great. And it's like, I'm looking at it now. It's maybe a quarter inch thick. It's amazing.
I just saw, I think it was a 32-inch curved.
Oh yeah, those are nice.
That was like $170, $180.
Right. Yeah.
Those were, I mean, those were before we got into the supply chain issues. Those were like minimum 200 plus easily, if not higher. And I was like, what the heck? But then again, like, and the same thing with TVs now. You're looking at, I mean, 55-inch TVs regularly under $300. And you're talking 4K.
Yeah.
You know, for 4K, HDR, UHD, you're talking under, it's crazy.
I pass by them in Costco all the time. And I look at them and go, man, I wish I could fit one of those in my home.
But like I said, based on what I knew what our price range was to buy a replacement, I'm like, oh my God, I could actually get a 70-inch TV. And I'm like, I've got a wall to put it on, but I got to do some serious work to make
They are
this
big,
happen.
You know. I mean, it doesn't 75 inches or 70. It doesn't. We, you know, at work, I got a 75-inch Dell touchscreen for hybrid meeting teleconferencing stuff. And you don't realize how big it is until you see it standing in a, you know, freestanding in a room going, wow, that's a monster, you know. I also put it on a rolling stand so we could move it around. But, you know, good luck moving that sucker around. You need two guys.
It's nuts.
Yeah. So what else are you looking at? I'm trying to think. I need to get my daughter a new phone, but I think I know which one I'm going to get her, so that's not a problem. Maybe a new iPad.
The good news for me personally, outside of, like I said, looking for something for my wife for content consumption, for me, I'm probably in the best shape tech-wise that I have been in a long time. So outside of, it'd be nice to have, like I said, new monitors would be nice. Or switch. I currently got two mounted. I could even go for a single curve would be fine for me.
You know, I should have thought of that. Now that you mention this, I should have gotten a low-cost curved monitor, but oh well. Next time. 10 years from now. It'll be the 3D one.
It's crazy. You know what you should be doing since you need a project? I was just hearing the other day, somebody I know through work, a client was at a conference, and he posted a video of a Raspberry Pi supercomputer. Basically, it was a Raspberry Pi.
I saw that. I have three Raspberry Pis, one of which is overclocked.
That's not enough.
Well, does it count that one of them is the one that looks like it's a bomb? Because briefcase, the crow pie.
The crow pie.
That thing should count as at least three Raspberry Pis.
I got to tell you. Yeah.
It was so funny when I saw that. I'm like, because it was. I'm like, am I looking at a server rack? What am I looking at here?
Yeah.
And it was just filled, and I'm like, that's it. There's Todd's project.
Yeah, yeah. And it's way cheaper than the old Mac Mini cluster that you might recall some people building out.
Yeah.
At $35 bucks a pop, it's not too bad, or whatever it costs these days. I got to say, you know, I finally plugged my Raspberry Pi 400, which I bought 2 years ago. It's a while back in after I got my switch for the HDMI. And I updated it. Boy, you know, you don't turn on a PC or a computer for a couple of years and update it. It takes a while, let me tell you.
Well, yeah.
And if it's a Linux box, you got to like, oh, I got to change libraries. I got to point to here. Yeah, okay.
I have VMs that, and like you said, especially I have a couple of Linux VMs, and then you'll forget all about it. And then it's like, oh, yeah, you fire it up. You fire up the VM, and it's like, yeah, I really think I need to let this just run and walk away for a while.
Yeah.
Because it's amazing how quick, I mean, especially when you use multiple laptops, you know, you'll forget about one, and suddenly it's been like, oh, when was the last time I fired this VM up? Yeah. Oh, 9 months ago? Whoopsie.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, before the desk that my retiree project is sitting on used to be where my iMac was, my 2007 iMac. And so when I bought it, it was so valuable, I had a Kensington locking it down to the desk. But anyway, so I turned on the iMac to make sure, you know, I had all the files I needed off of it, you know, and I backed it up and so forth. I turned it on and says, you have not backed up this machine in, you know, 1,500 and something days. It's been a while.
In a lifetime.
Yeah, it'd been like 5 years or 4 years, something like that. It was something crazy like that. But so it was good that it got moved. It's sitting in a nice, peaceful pasture upstairs right now. I need to figure out what to do with it. You know, I haven't wiped it or anything yet. Or I guess I could just pull out the hard drive. Can you pull out a hard drive in iMac? I'm not sure. But I need to find a nice home for it where it can rest in peace. But it's good to get the desk space. It's amazing how big that iMac is. And it's only a 21 inch, but it's huge. So I have a much smaller setup now that I can reach as, you know, my mobility gets reduced over the years. Listen, John, one of the things, I bought one of those Anker 727, which has USB-C, USB-A, and two AC outlets with 100 watts of output through USB-C. And so I can just reach stuff, you know, rather than like, oh, where is that charger? Oh, it's on the floor. Oh, my back. Ow, my back. So it's not on the floor anymore. But at any rate, I'm looking for really little things that I really hadn't thought about. You know, well, I thought about it over years, but never did anything, like cable management solutions and, you know, not so much digital gadgets, but things for digital gadgets. That's what I've been looking at lately. You know, what are hand stuff? Like, God, why did I buy 15 Bluetooth headsets during the pandemic? You know, things like that.
I just ordered one of these little headphone stand the other day.
Oh, speaking of headphones.
Yeah, I got a little stand because I was tired of these headphones that I'm wearing right now.
And I should note, Don has the traditional over-the-ear, over-the-head cans.
Yep.
Real high-quality stuff.
I have these. Let me go into my bag you said the same thing. Bluetooth headphones.
Right?
Go into drawers and
why did we buy so many? What was wrong with the ones we had?
Wait a second, guys. How many phones do we still have laying around?
Oh.
I've got a museum.
Oh. I still have all my Windows CE devices.
Yep.
I have my Windows phone devices. I have my Windows mobile devices. They're all sitting up there. I don't know if they turn on or not.
I was looking the other day and I couldn't find one of my Palm devices, so I don't know about that, but I did find my MyTac Mio flip Windows smartphone 2000.
Oh, that was a nice one.
Yeah, that was a little flip phone.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's like I said, I just my kids, you know, when they were younger, thought that was hysterical. I had the museum. We'd open up the box and look at all these old phones that I had from over the years. But yeah, I'm the same. You know, when it comes to the tech stuff, I'm a hoarder. I hate to get rid of it because it's like a piece of me. You're taking a part of my body. John, they're taking my essence. Yep.
I was just thinking that.
Yeah. I will say that, you know, as I said, I often tell John, I learn a lot from him and follow his lead on many things, even though I'm much older than him. And one of the things I've taken the lead from him on is, like you, Don, I have not sold any of my old gear. But when I recently upgraded to my iPhone 14 Pro and the M2 iPad Pro, I actually did a trade-in for both of those. Because I'm thinking, hey, you know, I'm going to be a lot poorer on a monthly basis next year. I should really start saving nickels and dimes, unlike in the past. And I have to say, I think for the two of them combined, for the iPhone 12 Pro, not even a 13, iPhone 12 Pro, and I had a 2020 iPad Pro, so, you know, pre-M1, I think I got a total of like $630 back for the two combined, so it was not an insignificant amount, you know.
No, it's depending on what you're, especially nowadays, back to the everybody trying to sell everything. I mean, the trade-in values they're offering, I don't think they're basing it on the value of what you're trading in as much as they want to push the new device out and get it out the door.
Yeah.
But just as an aside, Todd, you know, when you follow John's lead, I learned many years ago, if you follow that lead in a hotel lobby with a lot of people, you might get some strange looks.
Hey, we never got kicked out. So we were all usually anyway. So, you know, that was the point. You know, I think about what I have left in my archive over here, and I have about three or four devices that I've kept. And it was mostly just because I kept them too long. They weren't worth anything to sell.
Yeah.
So... But every so often, I get really tempted to go on eBay and look for some of my favorite old devices. And then I look at how much they're going for, and I think, you idiot, what are you going to do with it? You're going to pay $100 for this pristine new inbox, whatever. Right. And you're going to take it out and play with it for a few minutes, and then you're going to put it back in, and then you got a box of stuff that you got to deal with. And
yeah.
It takes up a lot more space than a $100 bill.
And it's so probably a CDMA phone, which doesn't connect to any cellular service in existence.
yeah, exactly. So
it's funny because, like I said, it is. I go back, I look in that box, and I go through, and I'm like, I remember this phone.
I do that too.
It's like, yeah, there's sentimental value to a lot of them. As a matter of fact, a few of them appeared in photos, group photos with people. It's funny. Especially those phones. Those to me, I have a hard time even imagining. Now, recently, like you said, if I had a phone and then a year from now there was a good trade-in value for it, I wouldn't think of it as much. But those years when we were all together, especially doing that, I can't bring myself to get rid of those.
Yeah,
as much as I'm sure so there's some folks within these walls here that probably.
That era of phones has a lot of people memories associated with them, you know, not just your family, but, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
I hear you. And it's one of the problems I'm having now, or I'm going to have, is, you know, I'm going to go through this thing called Swedish death cleaning in my retirement, which is a thing. And I think it's a really practical thing, especially for a hoarder like me. That, you know, like, what do I actually leave behind and what do I dump, right? And it's not like Marie Kondo's joy of whatever it was. Because I think, okay, I would probably get sued for slander if I said what I think about her beliefs. But I don't agree with her belief of decluttering. But Swedish death cleaning makes a lot of sense to me, so...
I hear Swedish death cleaning, and I think Norwegian death metal.
Very similar.
I just picture Todd running around like and with this throaty voice. I must clean.
Well, you know, I do have a... Gosh, what was it? I do have a Fender MIDI controller system I bought years ago, like maybe 10 years ago. They don't sell that anymore. It used to be sold through the Apple Store of all places because it was actually designed to be plugged into an iPad or iPhone or something. But at any rate, I do have a Fender that, I wonder where I put it. I got to go look for it now.
And then get rid of it according to Norway.
No, that's one of the things I'm going to keep. But oh my goodness, I have so many broken headsets. Why did I keep a broken headset? You know.
Yeah. No, there are certain things I do have. This stopped working. See it.
Yeah. But that's hard. Yeah. Even that's hard for me. It's like I could solder these wires.
Okay, now I do see where the need for death cleaning comes in.
Well, and I told you, I ordered that light super glue so I could use it with baking soda to fix stuff. So, you know, not the electronics, but, you know, sometimes a little plastic piece will break off.
John, sometime next spring there's going to have to be an intervention because he's going to post a picture of, like, some Frankenstein-like device.
Yeah.
He's just glued and spliced and wired something. What does this do, Todd? I don't know, but it looks really good. I'm on my way.
He's well on his way to comic book villain. And I'm sort of letting him go that far just to see exactly which superhero shows up to fight him.
Declutter Man.
Yeah, Declutter Man.
I've come to the conclusion this is really, you know, we saw the Terminator films. We thought there was one reason why this happened. Yeah. Todd's giving us the alternate reality of how Skynet came to be.
Well, you know, the other irony is I'm sure buying a lot of stuff to declutter.
That's why I said I'm not quite sure which superhero is going to show up to get him. But we'll watch. And I have the suspicion that it's going to get real interesting after retirement for Todd. Just, you know, we're going to crack a lot of new.
2 o'clock in the morning, you get a Teams call. You got to check this out. Yeah. look at what I've created.
Oh,
God, go to sleep.
Oh, well, feelings.
I still have to unpack my crow pie, you know, the bomb looking like Raspberry Pi I bought because John said it was a good idea.
So we really find out that John, see, here it is. You followed his lead. I told you that can get you in trouble.
But no, it's going to be an interesting. Also, in Hawaii, those of us who are not wealthy, I am not wealthy. Those of us who are not wealthy have very small homes. You know, you would probably consider them like a gazebo where you guys live. I had when my parents passed away, and you know, we're cleaning up the home, and I still had stuff in there at my age, right? In fact, I think I've told you guys a story that on my father's deathbed, literally 2 days before he died, he kind of reached up and grabbed my shirt a little so I would bend down to listen, and he says, "Have you cleaned your crap out of my house yet?" Those were like among the last words my dad ever said to me.
This explains a lot.
When you said your house was small, the first thing I thought is, January 1, Todd tries to build something that will build an extension to his house. He's going to build a robot.
I'm pretty sure that crow pie could do it. There's enough things in that kit that I'm sure it's possible.
Oh, it's got A to D, D to A stuff. I mean, you know, I could attach the robot wheels and arms. And actually, you know, I wouldn't have to attach it anymore. It's all wireless.
April 1st, Todd tells us that you did build an extension, and the same machinery took out three square blocks in the neighborhood.
I am renting. It's present tense. So, you know, after I cleaned out my parents' home, I rented a 10 by 10 by 12 storage unit, which I'm paying like $190 a month for, which is more than the rent was when I went to grad school for an actual living space. You know, I need to, as a retiree, I'm going to need to recover those costs. I need to start cleaning that stuff up. But any rate, those are my plans.
Stay tuned, everybody.
It's going to be fun. I really hope to make this work. I'm looking around the mess around me. It's all me. You know, my wife and my daughter, who, you know, has her own place, which is spotless. It's sort of scary. You know, looks at my stuff and they just shake their head like, no, there's nothing to be done here. But anyway, Don, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll have you back on. And maybe as we get closer to holiday season, we'll regroup and see if we found anything worth mentioning to folks.
Alrighty.
That has been Mobile Views Podcast 428. Hey, John, next month is November. December, it will be 9 years since you started joining these podcasts regularly.
I've got to step up getting you to make poor decisions. I don't think I've done 9 years of that. I think I've finally got it.
During my cleanup process, I'm going to gather all the stuff I bought because of you and put them in one corner and just take the photo of this stack of stuff. You know, and this is what John said I should buy, and this, and this, and this, and
this. I thought it's time for the super glue and baking soda.
There you go.
I was very scared for a minute there that the next sentence was going to be, I'm going to stack it in a corner, then pack it up and send it to you, and then I was just going to get a shipping container that I was going to have to figure out what to do with the apartment.
Oh, well. In any case. It has been a pleasure, Don. Thank you, as usual, John, for the last almost nine years of podcasting. We've been on every podcast line last 9 years, except one where I was not. But you and Don were. You guys hijacked the podcast.
Yeah.
But at any rate, thank you for doing that, actually. That was a fun time. That's when I was stuck in traffic coming back from my daughter's track meet or something. But anyway, thank you all. And again, Movies Podcast number 428 is in the can.